Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Beyond the tax revenues, beyond the infrastructure improvements, there's a world of opportunity called Meadowlands Xanadu.
Meadowlands Xanadu. Sounds like from the Meadowlands of Morocco. But have you heard about Meadowlands Xanadu? It is a 2.2 million square foot entertainment and retail complex rising in the midst of the wetlands just across the Hudson from Manhattan. When WNYC's Bob Henley partnered with Michael Grable of the investigative reporting group ProPublica to study a project that could serve as a preview of how stimulus funds will be allocated in our area, Bob picked Xanadu and specifically the rail line that is being built to lead to it. And he is here now to tell us what he learned. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
And Michael Grable from ProPublica. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning.
And even before we really jump into this, I think we have to hear the rest of that promotional spot.
With a brighter future for New Jersey, where business and pleasure do mix. With sports and recreation, where learning is fun.
I've been living in Jersey all my life. I've never seen anything like this.
Sounds hot, Bob. I'm going.
Yeah.
What is Xanadu?
Well, Xanadu was a Hail Mary pass that the McGreevy administration came up with back in 2002-2003. You have to remember the Sports and Exposition Authority was looking kind of tired. It was built in the 70s, the stadium and the racetrack. They were looking at massive migration of the teams, the Devils, the Nets, the Jets. Everybody was leaving, and so they needed a way to try to hold it all together. It's Sports and Exposition Authority is the ultimate public-private partnership, so they came up with the concept of Xanadu, which would be a destination megaplex that would have entertainment in it, the ability to ski down 14 stories inside, even in August, the world's, you know, the nation's largest Ferris wheel, etc. And then this way, they thought, then they could finally get mass transit to come to the Meadowlands, because that had been historically the big problem. If you think about the Meadowlands, it's car dependent. It's 750 acres set in 20,000 acres of a vast estuary that we had wanted to preserve, but we cut out that 750 acres in the center for development. And so for years, they really couldn't get – it was hard to make the case from a public policy standpoint to build a rail line for what? A couple of Sundays a year, some deadheads to go to a concert? But if you had a Xanadu, why, then you could motivate it. They found the Port Authority. The Port Authority, of course, came up with what was supposed to be the $150 million to build it. There was cost overruns. It isn't done yet. So it was kind of like a – what do they say? Past is prologue.
Yeah. So this has been going on for years, as you say. It begun in 2003 as a partnership between the Mills Corporation and the New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority. What does it have to do with the stimulus money?
Well, in point of fact, the Port Authority and New Jersey Transit are the two entities that are building this spur line, 2.3 miles, which will tie Xanadu and the sports complex into the Passaic Valley line, thus into the entire New Jersey metropolitan mass transit system.
So that rail line is one of the projects getting infrastructure?
No. These two concerns are the ones that are going to be building the largest shovel-ready project in the United States, the $9 billion cross-river tunnel that's supposed to go from New Jersey to New York, some $9 billion. So I wanted to take a look at how did they deliver on what was kind of a simple project to get a sense of what could go wrong. And what you see here is that these authorities have really proliferated. People have to understand, while we've been focusing on the governor's reaction to stimulus, in point of fact, this money is going to be spent around the country by independent authorities that are often tied in through campaign contributions to developers, to lawyers, and to politicians. And moreover, they've proliferated. In 1952, there were 12,000 independent authorities across the country, separate districts providing water, rail transport, and the rest. Today, there are 37,000 of them. And I think this could be a real speed bump to delivering on the stimulus package, at least on budget.
Now, Michael Grable from ProPublica, I want to say again how happy WNYC is to be partnering with ProPublica on the Shovel Watch project, where we're going to be following all kinds of aspects of the stimulus money. And this is not just for the New York metropolitan area. This is a project that's going to follow stimulus money nationally with our program, The Takeaway, and some other things. Do you see this as emblematic of how are you going to watch the stimulus across the country? Because Bob was talking about the unaccountability of this independent authority. It's not like it's going through the governor of New Jersey, who people can vote in or out. It's going through the so-called independent authority. Do you think things like this are being replicated around the country in these kinds of models?
Well, you're seeing the political fights and political fights being dredged up from years and years and years ago because of the stimulus money. In Texas, it's the toll road battle. All across the country in state capitals, you've got the big cities and the larger state and the rural areas fighting over a piece of the money. But then on the federal level, you've got these agencies like the Rural Utility Service, which is a very small agency, now going to have $2.5 billion in loans to spend out for broadband. And a few years ago, the Inspector General for the Agriculture Department found that they had spent lots of money, about $45 million, to wire affluent subdivisions in the Houston suburbs, one of which was built around a golf course. Another one was built outside a town called Sugar Land, which has a median household income of about $95,000.
Sugar Land, Texas, one of the great town names in America.
So there's a connection in the sense that you have federal oversight, but not really over how this is going to be dispensed. I mean, the federal government isn't itself even ramped up. I mean, let's keep in mind, we just have come through the trauma of Iraq in terms of spending and, of course, lives lost, and Katrina. They are still having major fraud investigations around that aid. So the question is, between these independent authorities and the federal government's poor track record, what kind of hope is there for accountability and transparency?
And those aren't the only issues surrounding Xanadu. There are objections to this project from environmental groups, for example. Here is Jeff Tittle, executive director of the Sierra Club of New Jersey.
That type of development should be in an urban center like Newark, where it would make a lot more sense, where there's existing rail and light rail and road networks versus out in the middle of a car-dependent area that's environmentally sensitive.
Were those objections ever addressed or taken seriously?
Well, at the time, it was something where Xanadu was being sold as a win-win for the environment. The Mills Corporation, which was a major campaign donor to both parties, a big player nationally, had like Ann Richards as a lobbyist, a former governor of Texas. So they really had their act together. And they had option on a land called the Empire Tract, which was a wetland environmentalist had their eyes on. So they kind of worked at a deal like, well, we'll save this and then we'll develop over here. And the Sports Authority ended up turning over 150 acres of its land to the Mills Corporation. Through the process, the environmentalists kind of got marginalized. And again, the whole emphasis on economic development and private-public partnership really kind of blew away any of the opposition.
And I could see environmentalists arguing it the other way, too. If somebody was trying to build a mass entertainment complex in downtown Newark, maybe they would turn around and say, oh, no, this is too dense and too polluting, and, you know, it would become an urban blight and all of these kinds of things, you know, like we see with all kinds of development projects in all kinds of cities.
Right. I think the other thing that happened here, too, is that one of the concerns is that 4 of the 10 Port Authority commissioners that had to vote on this rail line had to recuse themselves. And so you see here this because they had some kind of business tie or connection to the Xanadu project in the form of the chairman, Anthony Kosha. He was his law firm, and he represented the Sports and Exposition Authority, which was a major player in the deal. David Mack, who is a commissioner, was involved with Mack Cali, which was the private partner to build the office towers for Xanadu. So there's this kind of direct connection and tie-in. And you see the situation where access to decision-making is often based on campaign contributions. And so that's where you see this kind of manufacturing of consent that happens with these public projects.
So Michael Grable from ProPublica, what kinds of provisions are in the stimulus bill for the federal government to prevent mismanagement of money that would go to projects like this?
There's about $350 million that's going to be allocated to oversight, and that's about a dollar for every $2,250 in the plan. They've created this thing that is called the RAT Board, Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board. It'll be made up of all the major inspectors general, and it will be led by this sort of living legend, Earl Devaney. And, you know, if you've looked at the awe and the praise that followed this, it was almost, you know, as if a tumbleweed had blown through Capitol Hill and, you know, someone had cued the theme to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He's got this impressive resume of taking down the lobbyist Jack Abramoff, exposing sex, cocaine, and corruption in the oil and gas royalty program, and even caught someone taking a bribe with a camera hidden in the mouth of a shellacked alligator's head.
Nice.
So it's got quite a mythology surrounding it.
So do you think that that's enough money to adequately oversee this money, or are we going to be talking about scandals from, you know, now until 2030 and kind of discredit this whole idea of a big stimulus package?
Well, the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners looks at this every year, does a report and says U.S. organizations lose about 7% of their revenues every year to fraud. And if you do the math on that, it's about, and if it holds true for the stimulus, that's $55 billion, quite a large chunk of money. And the real question, I guess, is how is this oversight going to play out? There has been some questions about how much of it we'll be able to track and in what form we'll be able to track. The OMB Watch, which is a watchdog group, said some of the things that are being discussed just as a stopgap is to link to these reports. And if you just have reports, it's going to be hard to dig through and find out this guy got 5 contracts or 50 contracts or 500 contracts, and he happens to be the biggest campaign contributor in this city.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, there's fraud and then there is this kind of crony capitalism. And I think distinctions have to be made. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had in the person before Mr. Kosha, Mr. Kushner, who was a major campaign giver. I mean, gave far more than Kosha ever gave. He ended up actually being indicted and convicted on corruption charges right around this period of time. He was a McGreevy appointee. I think the thing here is that the government, it's up to the public really at the grassroots level to exercise the oversight we're talking about, because Washington does not. You think they don't have a cue about AIG, Brian? Mm-hmm. They don't have a clue about these independent authorities.
I guess not. Okay, and we will leave it there. WNYC's Bob Henley covering the Xanadu Project in the Meadowlands. Michael Grable from ProPublica, part of our Shovel Watch partnership as we follow stimulus money and how it's being spent all across America. Thank you both.
Thanks. Thank you.
And coming up in just a minute, we will meet Harry Wallace, chief of the Unkachug Nation of Native Americans based on Long Island. We'll talk about what it's like out there. Many of you probably didn't even know there was an Indian reservation on the island. But also they're in this big dispute with Mayor Bloomberg over selling cigarettes in New York City. Stay with us.